Thank you, Jesus, for watching over the least of your children. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. We're finishing up a series we've been in called Spiritual Breakthroughs. I hope that you've had spiritual breakthroughs in your life with God, with your marriage, and in your family. Well, how do we continue and keep the momentum? Well, today we'll be looking at the secret, the spiritual strength. And I'm going to ask all that are able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. James chapter 4 and verse 8 promises us, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And in Joshua 1:8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, I pray today that the Holy Spirit would breathe on the written word, and it would become the living word in our hearing and in our lives. Speak to us now, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In my opinion, Billy Graham has stood the test of time. Other folks have been in the spotlight and have come and gone and have risen and have fallen, but Billy Graham has stood the test of time for decades. Someone asked him, if you had your life to do over again, what would you do different? I don't know about you, but when somebody lives a life as well as Billy Graham and they say, there's something I would do different, I'm interested in what that would be. And here's what Billy Graham said. He said, if I had my life to do over again, I would spend more time studying God's Word and less time preaching. What was he saying? He was saying, I would have spent more time taking in than I would giving out. Do you understand that if you give out and you give out and you give out and you don't take in, or you don't take in enough, after a while, you'll run out. And so today we're going to be talking about having a daily time set aside to spend with God. I'm not going to tell you anything new today. I'm not going to tell you anything profound today. But what I'm telling you today, if you will put it into practice, will change your life on a daily basis. I reminded old farmer, he's riding down the road driving his pickup truck. It's on old bumpy dirt road. And his wife's sitting over there propped up on the other side. You know, the old truck has no air conditioning, so the windows are rolled down. She's propped up on the other side. She looks over and says, Jed, when we first got married, we didn't sit this far apart. Jed just rides on down the road. He said, Polly, I ain't moved. If you can remember a time that you were closer to God, God is saying to you today, I haven't moved. If you're not as close to God as you were at one time, you're the person that is moved. You see, God is still behind the wheel. God is still on his throne. God has not moved. And so today, as we talk about having a daily quiet time, there are several truths that I want to point out to you. Number one, take time for the journey. In James 4:8, it says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Do you see it's a two-step process? You take the first step, God takes the next step. It's only when you and I take time to draw near to God that God draws near to us. You say, well, why is it that way? Why didn't God draw near to me? Well, God is the God of the universe, and this is His plan, this is His promise, and if we do it God's way, God will do His part. What does that mean? That means making a conscious decision to have a quiet time. Doesn't happen automatically. In Proverbs 18, it says, God is speaking. He said, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. One Christian got it right when they made a framed letter and they hung it on their wall as a reminder. Here's what it says. Dear Christian, when you're in a hurry, remember, you can save precious time by skipping your devotions. Signed, sincerely, Satan. Do you understand that it is the devil's design for you to stay up late, go to bed late, oversleep, get up, not have a quiet time with God, and rush throughout your day without the power and presence of God in your life? That's his plan. That's his design. And let me tell you, it's a good plan, and for many of you, it's a plan that is working. I know what some folks will say. Well, you know, preacher, I'm not really a morning person. You know, I don't wake up like a squirrel, all wide-eyed, bushy-tailed. You know, I kind of wake up over hours, you know, after a couple of pots of coffee. You know, morning is just not my time. I love what William Carey said. He said, the time to tune your instrument is not after the concert, it's before the concert. Okay? And so a lot of folks say, well, I'll have my quiet time before I go to bed at night. Well, how am I going to meditate on the Word of God all day if I wait to the end of the day to spend time with God? How am I going to have His power and presence in my life? And so just admit it. Hey, I'm not a morning person. This is hard for me. But God has made me a promise. And if I will draw near to Him, He will draw near to me. And I'll have the power and the presence of God throughout my day. Instead of just giving God the leftovers. God, I'm just going to tack over what's left at the end of the day. I know we got some geeky people in here. You know, you're real technology savvy. But I believe that technology is one of the greatest tools of the devil to keep people from having a quiet time with God. You know, a lot of folks tell me, so, well, preacher, I just don't have time to have a devotion. Oh, I understand. But you have time to spend hours playing video games. You have hours to spend on Facebook. You have hours to text and to chat. You have hours set aside every week to watch your favorite TV show. But I don't have 15 minutes every morning I can give God. And we wonder, where's the power? Where is the strength? Where are the miracles in my life? Well, you see, technology has eaten up your time, so you don't have time for God. And so you have to make a conscious decision. And then secondly, you need to make a constant decision. You see, deciding it last week doesn't count for this week. In Joshua 1:8, it says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you'll be prosperous and successful. If you go do a search on Amazon.com, you'll find there are 26,000 books on success. People are interested in success. People are interested in prosperity. But folks, you don't have to get the latest book on Amazon. All you have to do is to turn to the Word of God. Joshua said this 3,000 years ago. The key to success is meditating on the Word of God. Someone has said, if we could make a man and you had used part of Bill Gates, part of Tiger Woods, part of Brad Pitt, and part of Donald Trump, you'd have the ideal man. Now, how is that? Well, you'd have one of the smartest, the richest, the most handsome, the most powerful men in all the world. I mean, he could go anywhere he wanted to do anything he wanted to do. He could meet anybody, anywhere. He could do anything. But it wouldn't be a guarantee for success. See, you can be smart, you can be handsome, you can be rich, you can be powerful, but that doesn't mean you're a success. What is success anyway? I love George W. Truett's definition. He said, success is knowing and doing the will of God. Because you see, in the end, that's what you're going to be judged by. Think about it. Noah in his day was the laughing stock of his community. But when judgment day came and the storms came and the rains came, he got all of his family safely in the ark of God. I'd say that was a success, don't you? And so we need to make a constant decision. I reminded a little boy who went to kindergarten on his first day. And his mama was waiting to find out how things went. And so when he walks out to the sidewalk, gets in the car, said, "Honey, how was your first day?" He said, "Oh, Mom, it was fine. But it's not something you'd want to do every day." He was in for a big surprise, wasn't he? Well, I feel that for many Christians, that's their attitude towards a quiet time with God. Oh, it is fine, but it's not something I want to do every day. Well, do you want the power and the presence of God in your life every day? Then you'll have a quiet time with God. And if not, then you won't be successful. You won't be prosperous. You won't have the hand and the favor of God on your life. And then thirdly, think of your quiet time as making a divine appointment. Psalm 5:3, it says, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." Barry King's probably interviewed more people than anybody who's ever lived. And he was interviewed, and he said, if you could sit down and talk with anybody who's ever lived in history, who would be the person you'd choose? And without hesitation, Larry King said, Jesus Christ. If I could interview one person I'd interview would be Jesus Christ. Well, think about it. When you do an interview, what do? You ask questions. Those people talk to you. You talk to them. You and I can have an interview with Jesus every single day. You see, in your quiet time, you read your Bible. God speaks to you. You pray. That is, you speak to God. You can ask God anything you want. Talk to him about anything on your heart. We can have a divine appointment. So think about it. Put it on your calendar. I know you put your dentist appointments on there. You put your doctor's appointments on there. You put your appointment with your accountant at tax time. You put any kind of important event on your calendar. Make an appointment with God every day. I remember I was in high school. I did something really stupid. Anybody here ever do anything stupid in high school? Let me tell you what it was. I had gotten up enough nerve to ask the captain of the cheerleading squad out on a date. And she said yes. Her name was Cindy. I had a little 65 Mustang, and it had a standard AM radio in it. Well, you know, if I'm going to pick her up, you know, I've got to impress her. So I went out and bought this AM FM 8-track tape player sound system with these big speakers, you know. Guys, you know that really impresses girls. And so I went and got all that, and I'm putting it in. Well, it took longer than I calculated. Murphy's Law, okay. And so by the time I got it installed, got a shower, got all dressed up, I got there an hour late. Well, guess what? She thought she got stood up, so she got mad and she left and went out with her girlfriends, and I never got another opportunity. You see, I was busy doing this stuff that I thought was important that wasn't really important. And my question is what are you doing that's not really important so that you're missing a date, an appointment with God? All right, so the first thing to take is take time. If you don't take time, none of this other stuff will happen. And then secondly, take the tools for the journey. In Job 23 and verse 12, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. All right, so you're going to take some tools with you. What are those tools? You're going to take your Bible, you're going to take prayer, take your, a notebook, something to write down what God's doing. I've put an insert in here. How to have a quiet time. Start off with just 15 minutes. And notice here, what do you do? On the front side, it just tells you about how much time to spend in each one. Just take a little time. On the back side, it tells you how to go about doing it. I'm not going to go into that. That's something for you to take home. I hope you use that as a guide. But you're going to take certain tools. Job said that being in the presence of God was more important than his daily food. You know, God has prepared a four-course meal for you in his word. Let me point out it to you. Number one, God's word is an appetizer. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We have any bread eaters in here? Anybody like bread? Oh, yeah. Listen, one of my favorite places to eat is Longhorn. Okay, they have this great salmon. They have a great ribeye. But one of the things that they do is they bring you an appetizer when you get there. And they bring this real hearty brown bread. You know, even diabetics can eat brown bread, okay? And they bring real butter, not some of that fake margarine, okay? And they bring real butter. And, oh, man, I'm telling you, I can make a meal off of the bread. Well, Jesus said that the Word of God was bread. It's the appetizer of this meal. And then next, God's Word is also our beverage. In 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up in your salvation. All right, so the Word of God is compared to milk. And again, we're talking about bread. Where's Dale? Dale ain't nothing better than a big old thick cake of cornbread and a cold glass of whole milk. Not that watered down stuff, you know, but I'm talking about some whole milk. That's good stuff, ain't it, buddy? Well, on Sunday nights, we've been going through the book of Revelation. And the other week, as we was going through it, I went over our time. And I looked up, I said, oh, I'm out of time. And I went on. I went about 10 minutes over. And I said, oh, I got to land the airplane here. And I remember what Doug Houser said. Oh, preacher, this is good. You just keep on going. I said, no, the kids have already let out. The choir needs to practice. We got to land the plane. And after he come up, he said, you know, I could sit here all night. Oh, it was so good. You want me to tell you what? When you're having a quality time alone with God, that's the way it ought to be. Time would just fly by and say, oh, you mean time's up? I got to stop. I got to go to work. Oh, God, this is good. I can stay here all day. God. That's where your quiet time ought to be. And then next, notice here, God's word is our meat. In 1 Corinthians 3:2, I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger, and you still aren't ready. The Apostle Paul says, when it comes to the Word of God, there are things that you can learn that are elementary, like salvation and second coming. And I don't know about you, but I love to talk about and to hear about salvation and second coming. But if you're going to go deeper with God, you've got to get into some meat of the Word of God. And the Bible says it is our meat, our substance. Now, I haven't been to medical school, but I've been to the hospital lots of times. And here's one of the things that I understand about our human body, and that is we have two lungs. And if you can look on the inside of your lung, there's a thing there, and Libby, I think it's called the tracheobronchial tree. And it looks like a tree turned upside down. It's got all of these tubes that go throughout your lungs. And when you and I take a breath, what happens is blue blood rushes into our lungs. You know what blue blood is, right? That's not a TV show. Blue blood is exhausted blood cells. That is, they have given away all of their oxygen. They've come back to the lungs. They're exhausted and they're full of carbon dioxide. Well, in these very, very tiny air pockets called bronchia, they infuse those blue bloods with oxygen and they turn red to red blood. And now, instead of being exhausted, they're full of life, and they go to hungry tissue, and they feed that tissue. And then when your lung exhales, it gets rid of all of the carbon dioxide that your lungs just took out of your blood. And don't you understand that that's the same way it is with a quiet time? You breathe in the Word of God as an exhausted person. And the Word of God infuses you with life. And then you exhale in prayer. And you release all of the dirt and the contamination that's in your heart and in your soul. And then number four, God's Word is also our dessert. Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. We got any sweet tooths in here? Some of you is lying. Listen, we had Vacation Bible School this past week. We had about 75 or 80 people in the adult class. And the folks in the adult class, they didn't have chicken nuggets and corn dogs. They had strawberry shortcake, Mississippi mud pie, butterfinger cake. It was a diabetic nightmare. Yeah. And I remember I looked over there and Lucille, was you the one who made the butterfinger? Listen, you're an expert on sin because that was sinful. That was sinful. Listen, there wasn't a crumb. There wasn't a crumb left. This one fellow, he's sitting up there on the front row, and he'd been bragging before Bible school. He said, you know, I've lost over 40 pounds. And he said, preacher, that's 8 5-pound bags of sugar. But all of that got lost in Bible school. And he said, man, that is so good. Yeah. Suffering for Jesus, brother. Suffering for Jesus. Now, let's get real. Now, how many of you can see God's Word in that same way? The psalmist said, your words are sweeter to me than honey dripping from the comb. Let's put that in today's language. All right? God, your words are sweeter to me than Lucille's butter finger cake. Woo! I can't wait to get enough of it, God. Is that how you see quiet time? Is that how you see the Word of God? You see, folks, you don't read the Word of God for information. You read the Word of God for inspiration. Inspiration. And that brings me to the next point. It's so very important. And that is feast on God's Word slowly. Psalm 119, verse 97. How I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Teresa and I, we have a son, I won't tell you which one, but he eats like he's afraid somebody's going to steal his food. I mean, it's like a great white shark at Seal Island. I mean, it's like, son, slow down, son, breathe. You know, if you would chew it up, you could actually taste the food. Now, I understand some of you have been in the military, and it's hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, and you developed a habit of eating fast. But he's not been in the military. He's never been hungry. I don't know why he's this way. But you see, we need to slow down when it comes to devouring the Word of God. We need to chew on it. That word meditate is what a cow does, okay, when it chews the cud. You know what a cow does? It chews and chews and chews and chews, and then it'll swallow. And it's got four different stomachs. And what'll happen is that stomach will work it a little bit, and it'll upchuck it, it'll chew on it some more, and then it'll go right back. In other words, it's going to extract everything. You say, "Preacher, I just don't understand this meditating." Yeah, you do. How many of you know how to worry? You know how to worry? Yeah, you know what you do when you worry? You take a single thought and you play it over and over and over and over in your mind till it drives you nuts. Well, meditating is to take the Word of God and you play it over and over and over and over. Meditation is just positive worrying, okay? Yeah, and so we need to slow down and take our time. Yesterday, I went to a funeral in Hickory at Hickory Funeral Home. And I was coming back, I made the wrong turn. I've only been to this funeral home twice in my whole life. And so I made the wrong turn. And when I did, I thought, ooh, I'm going to cut through here. I'll go around the back of the mall, and I'll come out on Startown Road. Well, I whipped in here what I thought was a service road around the mall. It wasn't. You know what it was? It's the driveway into a church parking lot. Now, after you go through the parking lot, you come on to the service road at the mall. And evidently, so many people have cut through there, they had a half a dozen speed bumps. And by the time I went over every one of those speed bumps, my brain was rattling around in my head. I thought to myself, they want you to slow down. And I thought, God, that's what we need to do in our quiet time. You see, it's not how much of the Bible you read, but slow down, meditate, digest it. If you just get one part that grips your soul, it'll last throughout the day. All right, so I'm going to take time. I'm going to take some tools. And then number three, take talk for the journey. In James 4:8, it says, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. I was interested. When's the first time this phrase happens in the Bible? It was found in 1 Samuel chapter 14. Now Saul said, and they said, do whatever seems good to you. Then the priest said, let us draw near to God here. So Saul asked counsel of God. Here's what happened. Saul's fighting the Philistines. They've had a great battle. They've stopped and had something to eat. And he asked the men, hey, should we pursue them all night? And they said, whatever you want to do. Folks, be careful of surrounding yourself with people that tell you whatever you want to do is okay. Whatever you want to do, you're the king. But then the priest said, let us draw near to God. And when they drew near to God, what's the first thing that says they did? They prayed and they asked God counsel. And let me tell you what? God told them not to. God told them not to. So what are we going to do? We're going to draw near to God by going to Him in prayer. Two things I want to tell you about prayer this morning. Number one, pray naturally. Pray naturally. Matthew 6:7, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Just talk to God naturally. I remember in my home church where I got saved, we had this fellow named Fred. And Fred, when he prayed, man, it was like music. I mean, when he prayed, it was like reading poetry. I mean, it just flowed off of his lips. It was so flowery and it was so eloquent. I was impressed every time Fred prayed. But we had this other guy in our church, my home church, and his name was Joe. Joe had a third grade education. Joe was a painter by trade. And when Joe prayed, it wasn't thee and thou and wouldest and goodest. It didn't sound like quoting Shakespeare when he prayed. Here's how Joe prayed. Hello, Father. It's Joe again. We need to talk. You know what? When Joe talked, I felt the power and the presence of God. Listen, it wasn't all of that flowery. It wasn't all that poetic. But you know what it was? It was from his heart. It was natural. He talked as if God was sitting right beside of him. And folks, if you're having a quality quiet time, God is sitting right beside you. Talk to him like that. Some of you talk to God like you're on crack. Yeah. Heavenly Father, it's me, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, speak to me. Heavenly Father, I need a blessing. Heavenly Father, oh, you're so good, Heavenly Father. I mean, you know, that's how people who talk when they're on crack, they say the same stuff over and over and over again. The truth of the matter is that some of you pray, it sounds like the same prayer you prayed last time, and the time you prayed for that, and the time you prayed for that. Just talk to God naturally what's on your heart. All right? But now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't pray with some type of plan. See, the second thing you should do is you should pray systematically. In Philippians 4:6, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That is, pray for things systematically. I generally start off just telling, hey, God, I love you. Thank you for loving me. You know, I'm just having a natural conversation. But then after I've just kind of talked to God, then I start praying specifically. I start making petitions to God. And I follow the Lord's Prayer pattern. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it's easy to remember. It's the word acts. A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration. I just praise God for who He is. C is confession. I confess for any sin that the Holy Spirit brings to my life. T is thanksgiving. I thank God for what He's done in my life. And S is supplication. I start praying for other people. I start by praying for my wife. Then I pray for my children. I pray for my daughter-in-laws. I pray for my grandson. I pray for my family. And then, you know what? After I pray for my family, I start praying for my church family. You see, I have a system and I have a plan. It's not, oh God, it's me, bless me, thank you, and I'm done. You see, you have a plan. And then that brings me to the last point. You see, if you'll take time, and by the way, here's the problem most people make. They start off trying to do too much too soon. I'm going to have an hour alone with God. Just start off with 15 minutes. And if you start doing it right with 15 minutes, it'll grow to 20, and it'll grow to 30, and it'll grow to an hour. But you see, if I was going to run, where's some of our run for God people? Raise your hand if you're one of those. Okay, if I'm going to run a 5K, if I'm going to run a marathon, I'm not going to do it on day one. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk, and then I'm going to run. I'm going to walk, I'm going to run, and I'm going to build up to it. Is that right? Yeah. Well, you do the same thing in your quiet time. And when you do, you'll have these treasures. Notice what it says in Psalm 19. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. What is the reward that you will receive if you have a quiet time? I'm going to tell you three of them. Number one, God is glorified in your quiet time. Psalm 15, verse 23, whoever offers praise glorifies me. Listen, we had a great Bible school this past week, and I got to confess to you, some of the Bible school music just didn't ring my bell. Okay, just didn't ring my bell. But there was one of those songs that was kind of catchy. It kind of got in your head, and I couldn't get it out of my head. And I'd play it all day during the day. And it went something like this. My God is so big and so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And you ever tell you what? I have that song playing over my head all day. You know, it didn't matter what I was doing, all of a sudden it just break out. Well, God is glorified when we praise Him. And when we're having a quiet time, what's happening? God speaks to us. We speak to God. During the day, I'm meditating. I'm running it over and over in my head. And God is glorified when we do that. Secondly, your faith is fortified. You want to strengthen your faith? Psalms 19:7 says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. Would you like to have a daily revival? Well, you just have a quiet time. Because, you see, God's Word will revive your soul. In Isaiah 26:3, you, that's God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. How do I keep my mind on God? I get up and have a quiet time. And then during the day, what I do, I meditate on what God has said. And when that happens, God says, I'm going to have a peace that just passes all understanding. How many of you have seen the movie Ben-Hur? All right? Some of you have missed a really, really great movie. And Brother Ken, we go to Holy Land. We're going to actually see where they filmed Ben-Hur. We'll actually go to the site, okay? But anyhow, in Ben-Hur, Charlton Heston is the hero, and he has the chariot race, you know, where they go around and they're having a fight. Well, Charlton Heston had to learn how to ride a chariot. Well, he wasn't doing very good at it. And so after a time of frustration, he went to the movie's director, and he said, listen, I just don't get this. I'm not very good at this. There's no way I'm going to win the race. I love what the director said to him. He said, Charleston, it's not your job to win the race. It's your job to stay on the chariot. It's my job to make you win the race. Friend, don't you understand it is not your job to win the race of life. It is your job to stay in the Word of God. It's your job to stay on track with God. It's your job to stay hooked up to Him. And it's God's job to make you a winner. You do your part. God do His part. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. And then lastly, your soul is satisfied. Psalm 19:8, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Oh, I love that song today. I got joy. Then notice what it says. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Giving light to the eyes. Do you know what will happen is when you have a daily quiet time, you spending quality time with God, you're going to leave that with the glow of God on you. The joy of the Lord is going to be on your heart, and the glory of God is going to radiate from your presence. Have you ever noticed a couple that's been married for a really long time? I'm reminded of Sue and Ursula Robinson. They were married 72, 73 years. You know, after a couple have been married to each other for a long time, have you noticed they start looking alike? Yeah. And they start acting alike. That is, they pick up on each other's mannerisms. And they start talking alike. They can even complete each other's sentences. The other one has started out a sentence and the other one to finish it. Have you noticed that? Well, let me tell you what our goal is. Our goal is to spend time with God every day, and that we walk with God so much that after a while, we start acting like Jesus, and we start looking like Jesus, and we start thinking like Jesus, and we can complete His sentences because we have been in His presence on a daily period for years and years and years. And is that not the goal of life? To be like Jesus? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody's looking around. We're going to have an invitation, and during this time of invitation, it's always a time of commitment. And today, if you have never committed your heart and life to Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to come and join in the greatest journey you'll ever embark on. To step out of your seat, come to this altar, and commit your heart to follow Jesus Christ. Maybe that you have committed your heart to Jesus Christ during Bible school and you'd come forward today and make it public. Present yourself as a candidate for membership. Maybe that you're already saved and you're already baptized and God's telling you this is where I want you to worship and serve. We ask you to get up and to come forward. Make a commitment to serve God in this place. I want to challenge every single person here today to make a commitment. And that is, God, I'm going to take time every day at the beginning of my day. And I'm going to start it off talking to You and listening to You. God, I commit today to have a daily quiet time with You. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have a time of decision making, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would draw each of us to make the commitments today that will bless you and will bless us. We'll make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. If you would please stand as we sing, we invite you to come.